some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about...
The madness grows in this sick society. Posers laud shallow youth for their empty fads. Phonies seek out vain celebrities for instruction. Slaves glorify globalist parasites for their stolen wealth and power. Politicians are puppets, not leaders. Sheep wear masks and accept deadly vaccines. In these dark times, the wise must lead us. So we call the Wisdom Circle.
Bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where we're continuing our innovative simulcast between Studios A and Studio B with a Wisdom Circle, where Giuseppe Vaffanjulo, David Scorpio, and Chris Weinert are here. And since Giuseppe arranged for our guest, whom I featured myself several times before, I shall invite him to perform the introduction. Giuseppe.
Well, fresh from another triumphant coast-to-coast appearance with George Norrie, none other than muckraker, investigator, engineer Joe Olson has joined us. Joe, are you there?
Yes, but I'm not getting a symbol to show video. Are we doing just audio today?
Yeah, just audio today, Joe.
Okay, good to go. Okay.
Can everybody hear Joe?
Yep.
I can hear him.
Everything's good. Yeah.
Okay, Jim, why don't you take the first question then?
Well, tell us about your appearance. You know, you're doing a lot of work on a whole range of issues, I know. What do you think is most pressing for us to go through today with you? We're so pleased to have you here.
Well, I had done an interview with Coast to Coast on November 27th on Body Electric, and that's a subject that I really want to touch base later because it gets back into the health aspect. But this March 18th Coast to Coast presentation was on abiogenic oil, which hydrocarbons existed on Earth for 1 billion years before the first single-cell organism. The Earth's original atmosphere was ammonia and methane. That methane had no organic organisms that produced it. And so that's what we discussed. And it was a really good, interesting interview. And the summary of the material is in an article posted at Principia Scientific called From Muscle Power to Carbon Empowerment. And I go through
Joe,
how, if you have, yes.
Well, I think all that's fascinating stuff, but What about, aren't you doing stuff on the vaccines and the threats they pose to human beings and other living things?
Oh, yes. But we're faced with multiple threat vectors at this point. And one of those threat vectors is the three lies about energy, which is global warming, green energy, and peak oil. So that's what the discussion was at Coast to Coast. My work on the Wu flu started when our governor locked down the state, and I started attending Open Texas rallies and doing a lot of research actually back in April of 2020. And I've written 8 articles of those at Principa Scientific. 2 of them I really like to cover this morning. One of those is Right to Try Voodoo, and it's at Principa Scientific. And all you have to do is just Google the title. It's had millions of views, so it pops up instantly. And one of the interesting things in that article was that in 1905, the Supreme Court ruled in the case of Jacobson versus Massachusetts that the state had a right to order vaccination or order you to pay a fine. And Jacobson had paid the $5 fine, but he protested it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, no, the state has a vested interest in everybody's health, so they can order you to have a vaccine or pay a fine. But they're now extrapolating that to say that forced vaccination has been, you know, the law since 1905 case law. And that's absolutely false. They can force you to pay a $5 fine, but they cannot force you to take an experimental drug. And that's what these are. They're all under experimental use authorization. And this morning, I forwarded you an article from vaccineimpact.com, people dying of the Johnson & Johnson COVID injection. So now we have 4 emergency use authorization vaccines, which are the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. And all of them have an enormous amount of adverse effects. And the problem is that as you go forward, what we've done is we've altered people's immune systems so that any future viruses or bacteria that they encounter are going to have a petri dish of immune-compromised people to grow in and create more mutations. So in addition to the 10 million Texans out of 30 million in the state that have already been jabbed with these immune system-compromising toxins, we're going to have the additional vector in the future of these people being petri dishes for things that they haven't even dreamed of happening, or maybe they have in weapons labs and they're just ready to turn everything loose on us. So that's an enormous amount of impact from that standpoint.
Giuseppe, I think Joe's got a crucial issue here. Why don't you pick it up and Scorpio and Chris, go for it, Giuseppe.
Well, Scorpio, you're the head of the Wisdom Circle. Why don't you jump in first?
Well, okay. Joel, really good to you again. You're bringing up some great points. And, you know, we really are in uncharted territory. And I think that the plan, though, is to I believe that the really bad effects from the vaccines are going to be over long term. I don't think we're going to see millions of people die over the next few months, because the plan is to sort of get us, you know, mind controlled into this notion that we need to have a new vaccine every year or even twice a year. And the whole new system, this so-called Great Reset, is going to be based around being vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you simply cannot participate in society.
Well, all of the animal trials for the 3 previous mRNA vaccines, which would be for SARS, MERS, and Zika, all of the animal testing had 100% mortality within 6 months. So we can already tell just from the animal trials that they had to skip because we don't have time to prove that it kills animals. We're going to go ahead and just inoculate human beings. So all of those trials failed in a real short period of time. I would expect that we're going to start having immune compromised diseases. Even if they don't result in death, they're going to be incapacitating people in a real short period of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we're going to see sterilization, autoimmune diseases, and then in the long term, we're going to have a huge outbreak of cancers, even more so than there is now. And, you know, if it happens in 2 to 5 years from now, and say, hey, you got cancer. It's not our fault. You know, things happen. So it gives the companies plausible deniability.
Absolutely correct.
Joe, I thought it was, this is Giuseppe. I thought it was outstanding that you brought up the farcical ruling of Jacobson in 1905, which is such a dramatic overreach. The actual tenets of the case where this fella didn't want a vaccine, they said, okay, you don't have to, we can't force you to take a vaccine, but you do need to pay that fine. That was essentially the scope and span of that case. And since then, corrupt judicial activists on the Supreme Court have sought to use that really, really outlying ruling as a way to support corporate fascism, which I guess is redundant, and support Big Pharma and support the idea that the state has the right to inoculate you in so-called emergencies. And that is just so, so offensive. And secondly, your point, so I'd like to get, well, why don't you address that? Have you looked into the, just what a joke that ruling is and how they keep building more case law on it when it doesn't, it's not really relevant at all?
Oh, there's another case that is brought into this also. And that's the case of Typhoid Mary Malone, who in 1909 was sentenced to solitary confinement because she was an asymptomatic carrier of typhoid. And the cure at the particular time was that they had done autopsies of people that died of typhoid, and there was a concentration of typhoid bacteria in their pancreas. So they just said, well, if we cut out your pancreas, then you won't be an asymptomatic carrier. Well, the problem was you had a 50% mortality rate of the people that had that barbaric operation, number one, and number two, the rest of them spent the rest of their lives convalescing. So you basically destroyed every life that you tried with that particular treatment. And then about 10 years later, when they were able to actually isolate the typhoid bacteria and the disease path, they discovered that between 3 and 5% of the American population were also asymptomatic carriers. So it's absurd that they also extrapolate that to the solitary confinement rulings.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then you start looking into this whole COVID, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny pointed out that it stands for Certificate of Vaccine Identification Artificial Intelligence. So COVID-19 is actually an acronym. The 19 deciphers into one for an A and the nine for an I, so it's AI. So essentially, it's a way to try and get some type of nanotech into people, which, you know, Bill Gates has got patents on all that stuff. So does Fauci. Have you looked into that at all? The idea that this is just the beginning of a whole transhuman agenda.
Well, what they're not putting in the way of nanotechnology in the vaccines, they're using in the PCR test. And those things are coated with ethylene oxide, which is a known cancer-causing material, as well as documented cases of people finding nanochips in the swabs that they're sticking up your nose. So they're finding more and more ways to infect you with these various RFID feedback systems.
Right, right. Chris, Brutal Honesty, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, sure. Man, I think that there's a lot of correlations. It seems like every generation, this group of hucksters, this cabal, uses legal precedent and many of the institutions in terms of science or even military to usher in these golem enterprises, these phantom menaces. And they really seem to divert the conversation away from the big picture, the entirely relevant, into the minutia in some way to find a way to disenfranchise us, to take our rights away by these legal precedents or these reactions to terrorism or things like this. A lot of parallels to 9/11 here, if you truly think about it, with AUMF and like the Patriot Act and like the extraordinary rendition or quarantining the healthy. A lot of parallels that are pretty shocking. And the environment of the people are very same too, you know, like no one's asking questions. Everybody's on board with Team America. Nobody wants investigations. They just want, you know, revenge, or in this case, they want safety, you know. And I think that really they're both two things that are not going to be delivered by the people that are they're looking to offer them. So, man, I think that the money behind the agendas, these initiatives, they're departmentalized, but they're all the same people working towards the same lockdown, lockstep goal. And to put us onto like crypto, to like restructure the financial system into like this type of thing that's integrated with, like you say, with AI and nanotech. And it's probably going to be aligned with things like climate change and the carbon tax. And even anybody that resists this will be considered terrorists by the largest terrorist organization putting this nanotechnocracy on everyone. So it's kind of an inversion hypocrisy that's being utilized. And it reminds me like another parallel of 9/11. You know, when they went into Afghanistan and Iraq and these Middle East countries, the first thing that the troops on the ground were doing was putting in the ABSCAM database, basically getting them integrated with biometrics and basically their identity and things like this, establishing a for most of these foreign citizens in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, things like that. So it seems to me like a long-term goal to get the bankers to put everyone on this central banking digital wallet with the Bank of International Settlements or IMF or whatever the end-all be-all is. But it seems to me a part of it. And the first part of it would be to get them in the identification process and then move them into the full spectrum surveillance and then using these digital devices in the way that they're doing. This is a total long-term goal and agenda for total control, and I don't see it any other way. What are your thoughts, Joe?
The first article that I wrote on the Wu Flu was Pandemics Are Personal, and it was based on the 2005 book by John M. Barry called The Great Influenza, where he did a 400-page analysis with 50 pages of bibliography on the original pandemic that they're basing all of this hysteria on. And he mentioned a whole bunch of cofactors in his book. I mentioned some in my article that he had not mentioned. And since then, I've discovered a few more. One of those was in a video, which I link at the at my website on the 1918 pandemic. And they said that all of the U.S. troops were forced to get an inoculation against smallpox, typhoid, and yellow fever. And yes, we'll get to the reasons why that's really relevant in just a second. But the military said that during the Spanish-American War, they lost 10% of their troops to yellow fever and typhoid. So they wanted to give this experimental vaccine to the troops that went over to fight in Europe. And they said it was entirely successful because we only lost 3% of our troops in Europe. Well, guess what the normal mortality is for yellow fever and typhoid in Europe? Zero. So they managed to kill 3% of the troops with an experimental vaccine to protect them from something where they had zero risk. So that's item number one.
Can I ask you, did most of the outbreak follow the vaccination, didn't it? Like the vaccination program, most of the outbreak was after that, correct?
Yes, and that's also augmented by the massive use of face masks, and they said a majority of the people died of pneumonia because they were rebreathing everything that they were trying to get rid of and exhale out of their nose back through their face mask. There was also bare aspirin had just become legal, and nobody had known about aspirin overdoses, and so a lot of the people that had bleeding eyes and were expelling blood out of all of their orifices, out of their ears, nose, mouth, everywhere, those deaths were related to aspirin overdose, which were also lumped in as being Spanish flu related. Now, the Spanish flu, when they did the human genome and published it in 2005, a bunch of our weapons masters went out and dug up bodies all over the world so they could get the genome for the Spanish flu virus because it's the most deadly virus in the whole world. Well, they were shocked to find out that it was just the common N1H1 virus. And so other things amplified the pathogenicity of that virus during 1918. And that was the gas trenches. We had troops that we sent in unheated rail cars across the United States, bivouacked on the decks of freighters loaded with munitions over to Europe, where they were subject to enormously horrible weather conditions on the decks of the boat, and then loaded into trenches where they were filled with heavier than air gases that were highly toxic. So we amplified the 1918 flu and created a pandemic just because of our military actions. Now, the first virus was identified in 1931, and the guy won a Nobel Prize for it in 1946. You were not able to see a virus with an optical microscope. And the reason why is because the wavelength for optical instruments is 400 nanometers. So let's think of an analogy for this. You're standing at the ocean, and there's a seawall, and a giant wave comes over and hits the seawall, and it reflects back off the seawall. But what if there's just a telephone post out in the middle of the beach? Giant wave hits the telephone post. It doesn't reflect anything. The problem is that we're dealing with 20-nanometer virus that cannot bounce a 400-nanometer light wave off of it. So you couldn't see them until you had the electron microscope. So they could not identify any of the existing retroviruses. They couldn't tell what the strength or purity of anything that they produced in the way of a vaccine until at least the 1950s. So that's another part of the allopathic hypothesis. It's horrible. Yes, go ahead.
You're making so many sensational points, and I would observe that Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci, and his colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu, discovering that most of the deaths were not from the flu, but rather from bacterial pneumonia infections, which it turns out are promoted by wearing masks, because all this bacteria accumulates and you breathe it back, so that even children who would normally never experience such a thing are getting bacterial pneumonia. And where Fauci is, of course, promoting wearing not just one mask, but double masking and all that, because he wants to hasten our death. This is just disgusting beyond belief. Totally repulsive.
Yeah, it's our worst science fiction nightmare come true.
Think all the carnage that was taking place then, too. Like, that had to be a big effect, too. All that carnage in Europe had to lead to a lot of the disease spread. And DuPont, think about how much ammo they sold to both sides, and well as producing those gases you were talking about, Joe. I just want to add to your point.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, now for cures. My article, Wufoo Bat Stew News for You, I go into the history of hydrochloroquine, which is derived from an alkaloid called quinine, which grows in the bark of the chinua tree down in South America, and it's been used by Native Americans for 1,000 years. Plants are subject to the same threat factors that humans are, and so they develop chemical defenses against bacteria, viruses, molds, mildew, grazing animals, and one of the chemical defenses that they produce is a chemical family called alkaloids, which has 17 different members. And that includes quinine, but it also includes nicotine, caffeine, codeine, heroin, LSD, DMT, mescaline, psilocybin, and then the actual poisons of Bella Rosa and strychnine. And then there's a few others. But bottom line is plants produce those chemicals, and we extrapolate those chemicals. And in 1935, Bayer did a stabilized form of quinine called chloroquine. And then in 1940s, they got a patent for hydrochloroquine. And after the war, we stole all of Germany's patents. But it has been on the list of essential medicines for 65 years. It's over the counter in all of Latin America, all of Africa, all of the Far East. Nigeria, they take a quinine tablet once a week. And it's the best preventative and cure for malaria. In Nigeria, they have 40 million people. They had 20 people that died of COVID. So that kind of gives you an idea. Now, in addition to that, we've also had numerous doctors have enormous success with ivermectin, azithromycin, doxycycline, and budesonide. And all of those cures have been demonized by the medical establishment, the AMA journals and the AMA local chapters, and our appointed state medical boards have tried revoking licenses over it. The state pharmaceutical board in Texas banned any pharmacist from filling an HCQ script for about 6 weeks until legal action against them. And they went, oh, okay, well, we better not do that. And then they finally relented. And last fall, the AMA said, well, we actually approve these off-label uses because it appears that they're working. Well, that immediately disqualifies any emergency use authorization, because if you have a cure or you have a preventative, then there is no excuse for emergency use authorization. It ought to be revoked immediately, and we ought to get legal action by our state attorney generals to make that frickin' happen soon.
Joe, that's just sensational. That's such a terrific point. I absolutely love it. It would have been a value for you to be featured here today just for making that point. Sensational. Giuseppe.
I'd like to ask Joe what he thinks of the whole last 7 years of the so-called gain of function, genetic modification, and cross-species experimentation to turn the common cold, which is the coronavirus, which is ubiquitous in nature, into this bioweapon. What are your thoughts on gain of function, Dr. Frankenstein efforts, Joe?
Oh, I'm sure gain of function went back all the way to the AIDS, if not sooner than that. So we've had gain of function weapons labs that did the Lyme disease, and on and on and on. So bioweapons would be a whole another two-hour discussion just to get into, and I didn't bring all of my notes for that because I thought we were going to be talking about other things. Now, additional factor that's impacting our health is this 5G stuff, and that's what I discussed in a August interview with Richard Seert on his channel, Strange Planet, which has 40 stations in Canada, and he's the one invited me back to Coast, and I wrote a great article at Principal Scientific called Body Electric Secrets, and it's based on the book Body Electric by Robert O. Becker, MD, who was a orthopedic surgeon at the Rochester VA hospital, and he was having a lot of patients that would come in with multiple injuries, and they have multiple fractures, and the bones in their arms would heal just fine, but the bones in their legs and hips wouldn't, and he was going, I wonder why we have this differentiation in healing, and the body seems to be self-limiting, and why can certain species of animals up through the salamander family able to completely regenerate limbs, but no reptiles can regenerate a limb other than lizards can grow a new tail, but none of the birds, none of the mammals can regenerate anything. Other than it's really odd that an infant can have like the tip of their finger cut off and completely regrow the finger and fingernail. And so there was some evidence that humans had the capability of doing that, but it's lost somewhere through the evolution of the either individual or of the species. So he started doing experimentations, and he discovered the neurotransmitters that go from the sensory and the muscle nerve lines back up to the brain, and they operate on really low voltage and really low amperage electric currents that are direct currents. And he was able to...
We want you to hold that thought. We're going to go for the break to promote Revolution Radio, which is doing such a terrific job here. And we want them to appreciate our innovation here with a simulcast of the Wisdom Circle and the Raw Deal. We'll be right back with our special guest, Joe Olson, just a fountain of knowledge and wisdom.
Hey, this reminds me of the chimera. If you look into the old Eleusinian and Alexandrian mystery schools and the Therapeutidae talk about these things, they're like Sodom and Gomorrah kind of leans into this a little bit as well, where man create mixtures of man and beast. And this is kind of like what they're doing with these vaccines too, and the RNA recombinants.
Oh, it's absolutely insane.
And here comes the break.
We'll be right back.
Message. Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, today during our special simulcast of the Wisdom Circle and the Raw Deal, we're delighted to have Joe Olson here, who is doing so much great work over such a wide range of issues. Chris, you were putting a question to Joe. Please pick it up where you left off.
Oh, man, I forgot what I actually asked him. I was talking about the Chimera, I think, and the Alexandrian and the Aleutian mystery schools and like references they make to Sodom and Gomorrah. This seems to me the long-term goal of these technocrats that are the men trying to play gods with other human lives. And I don't know, I think this is a bloodline of cabal that's existed throughout time and tried to put the yoke on humanity for a long, long time. And I think that nothing has really changed in terms of their objective. I just think it's becoming more plain to see for some of us. And I just wanted to see what Joe's thoughts were. And I also wanted to ask you guys about that false flag, I believe it was, on 322, the skull and bone symbol date, what you thought about that, and if you had any other thoughts, not to distract the conversation, but whenever you get around to it, maybe take in from there?
Well, I think that's a great question because Biden is going for the guns, you know, trying to make a big deal out of it. I think it's going to be ill-fated after having run a campaign of defunding the police. Who the hell is going to protect you if the police aren't going to protect you and the Democrats don't want the police to even be funded, much less to be able to come to protect you? The whole narrative, this one would have supposed they needed a white guy to be committing the shooting, but it increasingly looks as though it was another staged event. Turns out the fellow who is supposed to have committed the crime has a Arabic name. He actually was born in Syria. He has a profile of being anti-Trump, pro-immigration, and it looks very, very phony. An expert in law enforcement has done a search on the police officer who's supposed to have died. He has no history, no background. They claim he had 7 children. This is just for emotional purposes. Not only that, we had a witness who was reporting who was having difficulty suppressing a smirk when he was talking about, gee, we really can't feel safe and secure anywhere, even in a grocery store. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has upset the Democrats' apple cart again and again, has tweeted, Colorado is everything the left has asked for. Universal background checks, red flag gun seizure laws, high-capacity magazine bans, a passing gun control grade from Giffords, Courage, and it still doesn't stop a thug like Ahmed Al-Essa from murdering Americans, where the guy's even a supporter of ISIS. So I think this is one more in an endless string of false flags, which began with Sandy Hook, where even the members of the Obama Department of Education informed Paul Preston when he made an inquiry after being bothered by what he saw being broadcast from Newtown that day about what was going on, and they assured him that it had been a drill, that no children had been harmed, and it was done to promote gun control, which is a situation in a nutshell, and where I've done massive research on Parkland, Charlottesville, Orlando, Las Vegas, all similarly false flag attacks where people were not killed, with a possible exception of this fellow who is supposed to have been the shooter in the Mandalay Bay, who seems to have been on ice for some time and whose height and weight from the autopsy report do not correspond to the height and weight on his game and fishing license, but where Mona Alexis Presley has done masterful research on, for example, the victims of the alleged Las Vegas shooting and found they were all based on persons who died in different states or on different dates or from different causes of death. And I'm inviting her to do the same for the alleged victims here in Colorado. So the answer to your question, Chris, it looks pretty much like one more in a long string where the Democrats can't wait to get our guns. But under the circumstances in which we're living today, you'd have to be a complete idiot to give them up. Joe.
Yeah, Fats, I was going to add to your point a little bit. Biden was also the guy that tried to push the Patriot Act after Oak City happened. You remember that? Him and Schumer were really on investigations with Waco and with Oak City, and they had the Patriot Act written literally like the ink wasn't dry before the Murrah building exploded. So I think something similar happened with the Patriot Act again with 9/11. So, I mean, these guys have a long history of consistently trying to take away the freedoms and the rights of the citizenry, but never really pointing the picture at the real culprits, because obviously some big people had involvements, not only with the COVID outbreak, the biowarfare threat, the vaccine thing, the RNA thing, the 9/11 terrorism thing, the ABSCAM thing like we're talking about. These guys are literally trying to track and trace us and inventory us and monitor us in real time and subjugate us to these market manipulations, these currency controls, these education and information controls. I mean, this is a full spectrum assault. And man, I'm glad everybody out here on this panel is talking about this. And I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to say that. Thanks.
Oh, Chris, that's simply excellent. And it turns out, of course, they don't talk about all the domestic shooting. I mean, you'd have 10, 100 times more deaths in Chicago using handguns, where the racial statistics are absolutely stunning, black on black. murders are overwhelmingly prevalent, about 98% of those that occur across the country. Black on white, relatively rare. White on black, even more rare. Maybe just 95% are these commonplace murders going all the time in gun-free zones. It just means we have one more case where the Democrats have their head where the sun doesn't shine and are taking actions like they're taking on the southern border that are harmful to Americans, damaging American society, ultimately putting our lives and our future at stake. I'm really glad you raised the question, Chris. Giuseppe.
Trying to turn us into the UN, the U.S. into the UN, and it's bullshit, man, and we got to stand up.
Good, Chris. Good. Spot on. Giuseppe, Scorpio, your thoughts.
Scorpio, jump in.
Scorpio seems to have a mute problem. Giuseppe.
Well, I'd like to point out that there's a subversive movement that's been going on for decades, which is a hybrid of Zionist capitalist parasitism combined with Bolshevism called communitarianism. And Obama, the traitor that he is, has been a huge proponent of this. So have the Clintons. And that's where the despicable phrase from Hillary Clinton, it takes a village to raise a child, when in reality, the family should raise a child. That's the whole subversive, we all got to love each other, we all got to feel thing. But the reality is, if you look at the mass shootings under Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, Bush Jr., I mean, that you're talking about a span of two decades. There were 66 mass shootings, but the whole Bolshevik color revolution communitarianism agenda to try and take the guns in America under the traitor Obama. So before Obama, there were literally two decades, 66 mass shootings. In 2014, Obama, 277 mass shootings. In 2015, 332. And only up to August 3rd, 2016, 258 mass shootings, which is obviously they're activating these shooters, the so-called lone wolves. I mean, some type of MK Ultra activation or whatever they're doing, but it's all, and now my point is it's starting up again under the traitor groper Joe Biden. The same thing. We're going to see this stuff every week now again.
You're absolutely right, Giuseppe. It's going to happen endlessly every single week. Get this, Jim Stone's take. This guy's spot on. Mulder shooting, all you need to know in one line. Mulder had an assault weapons ban that was in place for 2 years, and a lower court judge struck it down. It was then challenged to be put before the Colorado Supreme Court. 4 days after that happened, and before it went before the Supreme Court, assault weapons were used in a mass shooting, like clockwork. It's another fake shooting to influence the courts. Predictably, it could not possibly be more predictable. No one would magically come up with an assault weapon complete with ammo during an ammo shortage and shoot them up in 4 short days when most people would not even know a judge ruled in their favor. Most likely, this is another case of crisis actors. As the story goes now, the Colorado shooter had a Facebook page they made sure got deleted before they let his name out. I don't know exactly where they want to take the story now, but the deleted Facebook page proves he was a Muslim who hated Trump. However, they don't need white supremacists to accomplish a gun ban. They just need a shooting. So it appears this shooting was entirely fake, and that this Facebook for the Patsy either did not jibe with what they wanted, so they deleted it, or it's fake too. You decide. Either way, they'll get their gun bans, even if it was a total crisis acting. But I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to happen. The American people, when they understand that the Democrats want to take our guns in a situation where we need our guns, where we've seen the looting, the rioting, the arson, where we have seen a couple in St. Louis threatened by 100 rioters pouring onto their property, and where they simply showed their weapons in order to dispatch. But the district attorney, who appears to be another in a long string that Soros has supported to undermine American law and order, wanted them to be prosecuted for self-defense. a situation so absurd, any American who would seriously contemplate giving up their weapons really needs a serious double take, because the situation is outrageous. The average time coming to a crisis here by the police can be as much as 20 minutes. You're calling the police because they have weapons when you don't. Well, in that first few minutes is when all the mayhem occurs, and you're in the meanwhile waiting for the police to show up. Your daughter may have been raped, your wife murdered, you mugged. So if you cannot defend yourself, you're at the mercy of the mob. It's outrageous. Chris.
No, Scorpio's back, Jim.
Good, good. Scorpio.
Okay.
You guys go ahead. I was just going to add one quick thing. In Boulder, Colorado, they were trying to do an assault weapons ban just 5 days before this shooting. And the NRA, along with other groups, were able to stop the assault rifle ban. And then 5 days later, we get this shooting, which is very odd. And, they say this character is 21 years old. I couldn't help but notice he's got a giant bald spot on top of his head, and he's balding on the front, too. That's a lot of hair loss for someone 21 years old. The whole story is pretty screwy. And the assault rifle ban attempt merely 5 days beforehand is awfully strange.
Yes, yes. 100% agreement. Yes, yes. Joe, did you want to weigh in on this whole business with all these gun grabs?
Oh, yes, I do. Back the first week of December, James Spetzer had a False Flag Conference 2020, which is now free available online. I was one of the guests, and I spoke for an hour about the nuclear vaporization of the World Trade Center buildings. I had written two articles at Veterans Today, and one article was a memo with Robert David Steele. And I'm a trained structural engineer. Since the day it happened, I've spent probably 10,000 hours in the last 20 years studying everything I could about the World Trade Center buildings, and I understand it unequivocally. The net result of that terror attack, which could not possibly have been done by box cutters, it was absolutely 100% nuclear bombs placed in the basement, was to bookend Iran by having U.S. occupy Iraq and Afghanistan. So that way we were able to contain the lifelong enemy of the Hebrew state, which were the Persians, who in 586 came in and sacked the child sacrifice temple in Jerusalem. And the Hebrews have hated the Persians ever since. And they have the Yenon plan, which is that they own all the land between the Nile and the Euphrates, and we are their foot soldiers to do their dirty work. So under Obama and Reptillery, they did CIA Operation Zero Footprint, where they armed the Muslim Brotherhood and overthrew the governments in Tunisia, Yemen, Egypt, and Libya. And after they overthrew Libya, they took the Libyan arms under CIA Operation Timber Sycamore and shipped them over to Syria and armed ISIS. In Libya, they killed 250,000 black people. So tell me how great the black president was. And then they shipped the arms over to Syria, where they killed 500,000 Christians. Tell me again how Obama, being such a wonderful Christian or a Muslim in disguise, is so good for Christians. This is absolutely outrageous.
Yes, yes, yes. You're making a great point. And they're trying to Twitter is complaining that trying to call out this guy as a white Christian terrorist. Listen to this. Twitter says calling Ahmed Al-Assa, the shooter in Boulder, a white Christian terrorist, doesn't violate its misinformation policies.
I mean, oh, my God.
This is so effing insulting. It's beyond belief. Giuseppe.
Well, I'll tell you, this is beyond propaganda. This is out and out mind control gaslighting. And it's just so obvious the globalist parasites want to destroy the freedoms of the citizens of the sovereign republic of the United States. And they decided last year, much like I say it all the time, much like an ESPN late night high stakes poker game, they're going all in, and they've been ramping it up for 10 years with the lunatic Bill Gates creating this worldwide vaccine monopoly. And it's just insane, Jim. And now they're once like the Hebrew Bolsheviks always want to do, they're coming for the guns. And once again, they're going to fail.
They are going to fail. I have no doubt about it. There are over 130 million armed Americans. And in fact, they've been selling like hotcakes ever since the Biden administration came in. But of course, obviously before, during that summer of riots, the American people got an education in what it means to have no police to protect you. It's absolutely shocking, stunning. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I would beg to differ just a little bit. I think that they may be able to pass some pretty draconian gun control bills now. There's like at least 11 rhinos in Congress, and there's five or six in the Senate. And I think we're going to see more shootings before this bill comes up for a vote. But regardless, if they do pass these bills, it's going to just further polarize the nation, because no one's going to hand their gun over. And more people realize that the reason they want to take the guns is because they have some very unpopular things planned. And, you know, they're already going for this Green Deal infrastructure plan that's going to be another $3.9 trillion. I haven't got into that too deeply, but it includes a massive land grab to create, you know, big spaces for these so-called green projects and all kinds of other draconian measures that are going to really change the way people live and not for the better.
Yeah, stunning, stunning stuff. Joe.
Yes. Would like to use a little bit of modern verbiage. They had been calling their technocracy communitarianism. And the other day on Colbert Report, he said that they've now changed that because it started getting negative connotations to circularity, which brings us back to the peace-sucky lady who's circling back all the time. I want to circle back real quick to the Body Electric book by Becker. I had read virtually every issue of Popular Science and Popular Mechanics for about 30 years before I realized that the Hearst Corporation that owns Popular Mechanics and the Bonnier family that owns Popular Science are both propagandist outlets, and that what I was getting was absolutely filtered material. But one of the things that they did in the early 80s, they were talking about the military's use of active denial systems, where they use 95 gigahertz microwaves, and in 2 seconds they can raise your body temperature to 130 degrees. Other microwave frequencies can force you to be unconscious, to vomit, to defecate. They can also do voice to skull, which I'm certain is what they used during the first Iraq war to convince all those Iraqis to come outside of their embedded tanks and stand there and wave their hands in the air while we mowed them down and killed 250,000 Iraqi soldiers who were, you know, trying to do what Allah was telling them inside their head. So we have that particular vector. And then there's also the genetic defect aspects and the sterilization aspects of 5G, which Dr. Becker goes into in his book, but it's gone a lot further since then. I would like to quote in the postscript of his book. He said, for many years, the American Medical Association scorned the idea of vitamin deficiency diseases and called EEG electronic quackery. Even today, the august body contends that nutrition is basically irrelevant to health. What he had done is he had started getting research grants through the VA in the early 60s. And by 1985, they would not renew any of his grants. And he had gone through a bunch of different, because he was highly published and had been at a lot of conferences, he'd networked with a lot of VA offices and was able to get local funding from VA offices across the nation. And all of that got shut down. And so he went to people that he knew inside the NIH, and he said, why are you shutting down all of these programs that have potential to restore lost limbs and correct spinal injuries? He could completely regenerate the nerve cells, and then you wouldn't have paraplegics and quadriplegics like we've got for a governor in Texas. Those injuries could have been healed, and they were on the road to solving those in the early 70s and when all of the funding was pulled. And the people at the NIH said, the DOD is in control of all of the medical funding in the United States. So basically, they've had weaponized medicine probably since the end of World War II. So you want to know where the root of evil is? It's right back there in our Pentagon.
Very, very nice points, Joe. I want to let everyone know that Joe, with your concurrence, will take callers and questions after the break. 540-352-4452. Call in. Mitchell will handle your call. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, Chris, would you like to add further thoughts of yours?
Yeah, we're about to hit the break, but sure, this is a great topic to talk about. Just because people are not aware of this technocracy and the criminals that are trying to develop it and use this whole national theatrics to usher us into this race for the illusion of national security, and truly it's under something more like an instigated nudge team that is being produced in a theater company that's making it happen. And all these departmentalized facets of the military-industrial complex are being thrust forward under these pretenses, and in many cases being held against other foreign forces that are dispatched by the same group of central bankers. So I think that really you got to look at you know, the 1% cabal that's running all these nations and trying to put this UN agenda on us, and realize that this is what they're trying to do. This is what the end game is. And it's up to us to decide whether this is acceptable. And in my opinion, it's not. So I don't know. Many others are going to have to get on board with this. I think that the whole perception management is important for these guys. You know, people run around with these masks on. Everybody else thinks that they're on board with this whole bullshit. And it's really devastating to not only morale, to human spirit, but to just the concept of resistance.
Very nice.
I'd like to interject that Joe broke some news that communitarianism is now called circularity.
You're calling it circularity? What does that mean? It has no meaning whatsoever except chasing our own tails, Giuseppe. I think that's a gaffe on your part.
Money, and then they'll just tell you what you're allowed to spend. That's how it works. You don't even got to think about it. The born followers won't even have to make a choice.
We're coming up to the break, and when we return, we'll turn to Scorpio for his further thoughts on all these matters. But everyone is welcome to call in the number 540-352-4452 on this special simulcast of the Wisdom Circle and the Raw Deal. We're glad you're here.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer. You're on the Raw Deal together with Giuseppe Vaffangulo, David Scorpio, Chris Weinhardt from the Wisdom Circle, with our guest today, Joe Olson. We do have a first caller standing by, but before we take him in, Scorpio, we'd like to have your further thoughts.
Well, yeah, you know, I just found some breaking news. It's kind of interesting. Maybe you guys could comment on it. And I do have a question for Joe as well. But Angela Merkel is essentially saying, no, they're locking Germany down again. And in a speech she just gave, she's saying that, quote, we essentially have a new virus, obviously of the same type, but completely with different characteristics, she added, significantly more deadly, more infectious, and infectious for longer. So they're already kind of moving the narrative forward about this so-called virus, and it might be a sneak preview as to what's coming. Maybe Joe could comment on that, and whoever else as well.
Yeah, they're going to close the U.S. on 29, too.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, considering that the first vaccinations were given in the middle of December, we've had enough period of time that we could inoculate enough people that they can be infected with other strains of other viruses. And now we're growing a whole separate cocktail based on the new petri dish that we're growing them in.
Clean your box next, all right? Now be a good girl.
Some extra background there, please.
Sal, mute until you're called.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I apologize.
Not a problem. Go ahead, Joe.
Hilarious.
Go for it, Joe.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, let's talk about some collateral damage that resulted from this year-long lockdown, social distancing, masks, and contact tracing, and soon-to-come mandatory vaccination. One of the effects is that commercial real estate market has collapsed over 60% of value. There's over 11 million homes that are in foreclosure that they're not allowed to evict at this point, but will be able to in the very near future. And so we're going to have a collapse of enormous amount of real estate prices, and that's going to affect the sales, property tax for county, state, and school district, and also for paying back of the bonds. So we're going to have enormous amount of defaults, enormous amount of tax increases on the people that have still kept their head above water, enormous amount of displacement of population. New York City has an 83% vacancy rate on office building space, and they will not be reoccupied anytime probably within the next decade. So then you got the maintenance and insurance costs for all those abandoned buildings sitting there attracting nuisance occupants. So we've got an enormous problem ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
We do have a caller standing by, Saul from North Carolina. Saul, join the conversation.
All right. I'm unmuting myself. I'm sorry. I just want to start by saying, Joel, I appreciate the information that you're giving us. And I'd like to ask, I guess, all of you, is there any gun-grabbing issues that people with legitimate firearms need to worry about that might interfere with their ability to have them? I mean, people who already have guns, not that are going to get guns like today or from here on out.
Well, it's pretty clear that the Democrats are going to make a move, and the question becomes how successful are they going to be? But I'm also heartened that in cases where they have sought to take guns from Americans and so forth, there's been a massive refusal, like 97% on that order, and I would expect that to continue. Scorpio, would you like to weigh in?
Absolutely. Well, I kind of wanted to ask Joe a question. In terms of the gun thing, you know, I think the Democrats are going, you know, pedal to the metal here, and they might be able to pass some pretty draconian legislation. I think we're in the biggest danger of that we've been probably ever, because there's so many phony Republicans now, and they know they've got to do something about guns before they unveil this new system, because it's going to be very, very unpopular. You know, I was curious if Joe had looked into the Spanish flu, because there's so many things about that doesn't add up. And that's one of the things they keep going back to, you know, saying that, well, the predecessor to our problems now is the Spanish flu, and it killed 50 million people. And I just, personally, I don't believe that 50 million people died. I don't see how they could even come up with those statistics on the heels of World War I. It just, none of it adds up. And Joe had also mentioned a little bit about sort of like hemorrhagic fever type symptoms. And that was one of the symptoms from the Spanish flu, is people were bleeding out of every orifice. And of course, there is an experimental vaccine attached to that event too. So I wondered if Joe had looked into that and what his thoughts were on it.
You just talked about
it. Yes, I've got an article at Principa Scientific called Pandemics Are Personal. And my grandmother lost her mother, father, and 10-year-old brother in 1918 to the Spanish flu. So it was always a personal thing with me. She never made a big deal about being an orphan from age 12. And she was a big believer in vaccines because she thought that the medical establishment was doing the right thing for everybody. So when I got John M. Barry's book, The Great Influenza, which, like I said, is 400 pages with a 50-page bibliography, I read it cover to cover in about 2 days. And when I got to the end of it, I went, this is so different than what I thought I was reading that I didn't really understand what I was reading. So I reread the book out of the thousands of books I've read. It's the only one that I reread within a week, cover to cover twice. The one book that I've read four times cover to cover is The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shire, 1,500 pages long. He was a Chicago Tribune reporter who spoke fluent French and German. He was sent over to Paris. Then when Hitler started doing his Bundes stuff in the early 30s, he was sent over to Germany and followed Hitler around. He was a CBS reporter and was there when Chamberlain walked out after his 12-hour beating with Hitler and said, "I've secured peace with, you know, for the world." And he was a war correspondent all during the war. After the end of the war, he attended the Nuremberg trials and was a reporter for that. And then he was given access to 50,000 pages of classified documents, which he wrote into his book, which was published in the early 50s, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. I've since discovered that he's a Jewish origin, and so he had a little bit of a peculiar twist. And the more reading I've done on World War II, I understand where he made some of his mistakes. But the important thing that I read that book so many times was I wasn't expecting it to have a different ending. I read it with all the joy of feeding myself to a wood chipper one limb at a time. But I wanted to know how they set up their fascist state. And I was watching the same things happen under Obama, which is when I read it for the fourth time in the last 30 years. So, yes, I've done a lot of research on the 1918 flu, and I've got references in my article. And I highly recommend that you get a copy of The Great Influenza by John M. Barry. Now,
that's all excellent stuff, because Saul, our caller, is from Colorado. I'd like to tap how Coloradans are responding to this shooting, Saul. Are they being played? Are they taking it in? Do they believe the official account? Or is there widespread skepticism?
Well, let me tell you, I've got a few family members that are no less than real gun enthusiasts. They've gone to Africa to hunt wild boars and things like that. And I've tried explaining to them that this is not true. It's false flag. This police officer that age and with seven kids doesn't seem to exist. And they can't even believe that. Oh, well, you're just wishful thinking because you know that we really like guns. I said, I'm telling you, I really believe that. You got to look into these things. And see, their problem is they won't get off of watching local network news and using Facebook and Google. And if you don't get out of the box, you're never going to see what's going on. And it also puts up a double wall because you think that, oh, well, these organizations can't be misleading me. I guess that's what it is. Let me give you an example of how I, myself, were gaslit. I watched the local news like a half hour, like once a week, just to see what's going on. They lifted mask mandates in Colorado on March 5th, and I didn't hear anything about that. Now, here's the draconian thing. They're going to reevaluate it on April 4th to decide if they need to extend the mask lifting or reenact mask mandates.
Scorpio, would you like to pick up here?
Yeah. It is awfully odd that, this thing happened right after they tried to ban assault rifles in the very city of Boulder where it happened. That's a little too much coincidence for my taste. And I'm very suspicious of this whole event. If you look at, I've seen a couple of different witnesses talking about the event. They both had that sort of duper's delight going, smiling while talking about this supposedly horrible thing that happened. It may have happened. I don't know for sure yet. But if it did, it was the result of a mind-controlled killer of some kind. But right now, it doesn't even look like this is a real event to me. These witnesses look very phony. They're smiling while they're talking and talking about big picture issues. And that's not how people react to trauma when they witness it firsthand.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Absolutely spot on. Chris, you want to pick up?
Yeah, sure. I'll jump in. I think the whole point of these false flag terrorist sensationalist things that they're trying to do is to put the domestic population on eggshells, to put everybody in suspicion of each other. Very similar to this invisible enemy of the virus climate. Whole concept there. I think that the whole point is not necessarily to avert the conversation, let's just say, away from the bigger picture, I think that maybe we should be talking about maybe banning biowarfare weapons, things that they're developing in Fort Detrick. Maybe we should start looking to like testing and looking into these vaccines, especially when there's presentable alternatives being given and being silenced by the media. Look into the vested interest between the media and Big Pharma in Washington. I think these things would be entirely crucial, and really none of this stuff's happening. Any of this criticism is being censored. So this is something beyond just a simple accident or an oversight. This is a malice of forethought, an operation, a military operation, some must say. So I think that really we got to look at what's going on here and you know, really sort this out accordingly. So a lot of this is being presented as innocuous series of circumstances, but I'm having to say that this is a script, a theater that they're putting on to bring these type of agendas in. Every single time they're taking away our rights, our freedoms, our constitutional privacy or economic privacy, any of these things, man. So I think that's really what the goal seems to always be. And somehow or another, that always seems to be the end game.
Giuseppe, your thoughts?
You know, one of on the simulcast video side, Yogi for the Lord has brought up an excellent point that Dr. Barbara Lowe's excellent National Vaccine Information Center .org, NVIC.org, has a search function called MedAlerts, and it's a easier way to search than the VARS system. And I'd like to interject that he just did a search of a few days ago, 1,739 cases of vaccine injury in just 3 months from this deadly, unproven, untested new form of gene manipulation therapy. It's not a vaccine. It's far more sinister. And I'd like to point out even more disturbing is that Harvard recently did an audit of the VAERS system, the vaccine adverse event response system, and they found that less than 1% of actual adverse events are reported in the VARS system, which means if you just do some simple math, there's probably over 100,000 people have been killed in 3 months, and they're all blaming it on comorbidity, which is such a farce, because when you point out the comorbidity last year when just the whole COVID scandemic was going on, no, COVID killed them. But now you point out that it's the vaccination killing these people. No, it's comorbidity, not the vaccination. I mean, these are such satanic liars. It boggles one's imagination.
It certainly does. I'm glad Saul's here. Saul, stand by. We do have another caller, Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah. Good morning here from California, where we have the newest strain of virus wreaking havoc on everybody, but there's no visible evidence. Everybody I know is healthy. You know, it's worth bearing in mind, as Miles Mathis reminded me when I read his paper the other day, that they've been doing this assault weapons ban fear porn for 40 years, going back to the Reagan administration. And I can remember seeing newspaper articles back then, and I bet if I was to devote some time, I could pull some of them up. It's also worth bearing in mind that this only and always continues to drive gun sales up. And that maybe that's the purpose when you look into who owns a lot of these gun companies. He points out in this latest paper, most of which I agree with, it's a little tedious because he gets into the genealogy as usual. But he says the same thing that Ole Damegaard says, which basically is that he's researched many of these events, not all, of course, but he's not discovered a single one that's real, not one. And Ole Damegaard said basically the same thing. And he also dismissed the idea of a hybrid event, saying that he's never discovered any such thing as a hybrid event where, well, really some people did die, but it was the rest of it was a hoax or a fake or a fake or a false flag. So, you know, that's always something to keep in mind. I'm going to read just a couple sentences out of this one good paragraph, which I think he really hits it on the head, where he says, quote, "I have told you again and again why they do this. It is part of Operation Chaos, and these events help to keep us confused in many ways. First, it generates a general fear and unease, which helps them immensely in selling their various other programs of control. Also, it continues to drive the Men Are Pigs project, which he's talked about in many of his papers, splitting the sexes and keeping the market and compensatory products brisk. It diverts your attention from more important real news, which should actually be on the front page instead of this stuff. And you forget about these people destroying all your freedoms for a moment as you get caught up in this murder theater. And four, it drives the intel economy, as these people bill state and federal governments for the cost of running these fake ads, and it's a money grab like everything else. These bastards are on the clock, and you are paying the bill, so it's just another way to loot the treasuries. So I thought that was interesting. Quickly, just to make a comment on something that Joe was saying, too, I read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by Shire back in the 80s, and I liked it so much I read it twice. I was always fascinated by that period in our history. I've had an affinity for the German story and the whole idea of this one nation rising up. And of course, I didn't understand it fully back then as I do now, but I will offer this, that of course, yes, Shire was a Jew. No surprise that a major newspaper reporter on a major newspaper was Jewish. The book, in my opinion, is complete rubbish and trash compared to much smaller books such as Uncovering the Forces for War by Conrad Grebe, or The Bad War, or The Myth of German Villainy, or Bodyguard of Lies by Anthony Brown, and so on and so on. So the bottom line is Hitler and the Nazis didn't install a fascist state in Germany. What they did is they made their country free from international Jewish tyranny, and they made life as good as they could for the German people. They did lock up and put in concentration camps career criminals and also Jewish agitators and communists, which, of course, made life better for the whole of society. Instead of looking at what you're seeing now, which is a destruction of our society, just go online and watch the videos of, among other places, L.A. and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle, and see all the homeless encampments everywhere, which never would have been allowed in the past.
Well, Paul, I just pick up on that by saying that the Biden people are handling the migrant crisis at the border by putting migrants into hotels. I'm willing to bet they're giving them room service at taxpayer expense. They're releasing vast numbers without even setting a court date. They're not testing them for COVID. If COVID is real, then what they're doing could not be more irresponsible. Joe,
and here's
a great, just a quick bit of news that our dear friend of show, Dave Gaheri, and his Money Tree Publishing has obtained the rights to The Myth of German Villainy, which is just an excellent book. And he's going to copy edit it, update it, and put it out. So you'll be able to get the latest and greatest edition soon from Dave Gaheri.
That's excellent.
Awesome.
Scorpio. Scorpio, would you like to comment on any of this?
Something Paul said. I see the point that Miles Mathis is making, but conversely, I think that the reason that so-called assault weapons, there's no such thing, but, you know, long rifles, semi-automatic long rifles are on the chopping block is because it's really the only weapon that can be used in any kind of, let's say, rebellion against what's coming. That's why they want to get rid of the big clips, too. So they know what's coming. There's going to be serious pushback from what they plan on doing. And the so-called assault weapons with big clips is really the only way people could possibly mount any kind of rebellion against it. And that's why they're going against it. But I do agree with a lot of the points you made, Paul. Maybe you could react to that.
Well, I think, by the way, Scorpio, if I might just interject, your point's impeccable. This is a lightweight, totally versatile weapon that can do a lot of damage. It's functional in many different contexts. I fired one just a couple of months ago. Very impressed with its versatility. And from a military point of view, as a former Marine Corps officer, I think every point you made is exactly right. They want to take away the only weapon that would make a difference if we have to defeat a tyranny of our own government. I'd also observe that there are Oh, well, this was a few years ago. There were only there were 5 million AR-15s in the U.S., but only 5 had been used in the mass shootings. And the point that Miles Mathis and you are making, those mass shootings using the AR-15s were fake, and they were fake in, to deliberately implicate. And this includes Sandy Hook. This includes Orlando. This includes Parkland. This includes Las Vegas. So the whole thing is a total sham because they know the single most important weapon out there on the market that would make a difference is the AR-15. So you're spot on, Scorpio. Paul, did you want to further?
Yeah, well, yes, of course. So first of all, Jim, just quickly, I can't believe you actually said if COVID-19 is real, then what they're doing is very irresponsible. I mean, at this point, I can't believe that you actually said that. I'm going to leave it alone for now. But yeah, I agree with Scorpio. The bigger the clips, the better. Nothing invalidates either point. So in other words, what he mentioned is pretty simple. And I'll read another sentence or two. It says that if they really wanted the bans, okay, for example, they've been calling for bans since the time of Reagan. So ask yourself why they keep calling for these bans for 4 decades, you know, and then he puts in the highlighted yellow. He said they call for these bans to drive up sales, and they know that people are going to fear losing their weapons, so they better buy it now. So both things could be in play, but I'll make the simple point that a lot of these bans are going to be dead on arrival. They're going to be unconstitutional from the start, and that what they count on is the average individual who might get his guns taken for some reason will not actually have the wherewithal to go and challenge them. So just like all these governor's orders have been ruled against in all these courts, and the ones that I know about, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Illinois, Colorado, and California, two of those court decisions I printed out, I have with me, every single one has been consistent, is that these governors are acting outside the authority of the office and that the things that they're saying and doing are unconstitutional. Mandates have no effect. Okay, they're not real. They're pretend law. Also, just on another, turning the page quickly for something else that was mentioned, have any of you on the panel there heard of a guy by the name of Dr. Dean Bonlie, B-O-N-L-I-E? Any of that ring a bell?
No, I never have. Nope. Anybody else?
Okay, so very interesting. Is he did a lot of research on this magnetic field therapy. You can actually go online, look him up. You can hear him giving lectures on YouTube. And what it reminds me of is that scene from the movie Elysium where they want to try to get into that device where they lay in there and they're underneath some kind of a healing field and they can get better. So Dr.
Paul, hold that thought. We're going to a break and we'll return right after. Stand by. Lots going on here at the Wisdom Circle combined with a Raw Deal simulcast today.
Jim, I love you, but I agree with Paul.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer here with Giuseppe Vaffangulo, David Scorpio, Chris Weinert. We've got a couple callers on the line here. Saul from Colorado, Paul from California. Just as a point of clarification, I am a skeptic about COVID. I've given many arguments about it, including the recent study from Johns Hopkins showing no variation in deaths for different age groups, no increase in the consumption of oxygen. The point I was making is the Democrats promoting the pandemic are supposed to believe it's real. And if it's real, then what they're doing is virtually a criminal activity by allowing all these migrants into the United States without even testing them. I do think it's all bullshit, and that the problem is we have an imaginary disease for which the remedy, the shots, the vaccines are the real danger, the real threat. We've discussed it so many times, I'm really a bit taken aback that Paul or Sal would have any misunderstanding. Meanwhile, we've been joined by Solaris Blue Raven. I'm delighted to have her join the conversation. Solaris, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's nice to meet you on air. And hi, everybody. I just want to make a few points. Great show. I live outside of Boulder. And so I know this town very, very well. And so far as the community, the state, they're notorious for misusing covert warfare, psychotronic weapons, and psyops. Just because of where I've been with the covert warfare back in 2004, I can tell you point blank, there's multi-layered corruption. When I look and I see what happened with this particular incident over there at that Boulder King Supers, one first thing that comes to mind, I don't know if you all noticed, but when this gentleman was being, well, he's not a gentleman, but this unit was being walked out, he looked like he was over 21 to me. And I don't know, I'd like your feedback on that. It looked like he almost had a bald spot. He did not look 21 years old. He looks a hell of a lot older than that.
He looks 37 years old.
Yeah, what's the story with this? And not to mention the pseudoname. Notice that because he's not a white boy, no offense, but the whole idea is they don't say anything about anything related to culture, this or that. You know, the whole thing reeks of a psychological operation to get our weapons. And to me, it is just infuriating to watch this psyop go on and on and on. And there's never any type of counter insofar as people exposing it for what it is. So anyways, and by the way, I do know that area over there because I used to have a business over there with my ex-husband right next to that particular King Super. So I know that place very well. And like I said, this is a smart city too. Not so smart, but Boulder is notorious for smart city experimentation. That's another FYI. And also just one more thing I want to add. The gentleman, I don't want to call him a gentleman again, but I keep doing that. This is the way I do things. But anyways, he had supposedly been paranoid. His whole profiling reeks of Manchurian programming. So just a heads up on that as well.
Solaris, that's all excellent, excellent. I have a colleague with extensive law enforcement experience, ran him through the screening. The alleged officer who died there, Eric Taley, appears to be a fiction. Here's what he said. I ran this guy through the database. His reported name is Eric Talley. I checked all the guys in his age group. He's not showing up. There are a few in Colorado with his name, but no matches to the man in the report below. They say he's an 11-year veteran of the department. They report he has 7 kids. No one like this comes up in the database searches. I looked at 2 in his age group with his name in Texas as well. Not him. The rest are too old. The ones who are close all turn out to be someone else. The photos don't match. Background doesn't match. Not the guy they're showing on TV. None of them are police. If you listen to the report below, it appears to look very scripted. No info about what happened to the suspect yet. This looks like a false flag as of right now. I think we have ample confirmation, including the fake witnesses. And what Solaris is saying, yes, this is an older guy. I agree, the bald spot, very conspicuous. I'd put him, too, in the mid-30s range. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Solaris is saying. I was wondering if she could maybe expand on her knowledge of that actual shopping center. That's incredible. And the only other thing I'd add is that, you know, isn't it interesting that this guy is from Syria, supposedly, and his parents immigrated from Syria. And of course, this is at the very, you know, heels of amping up the war in Syria yet again to try to depose Assad.
Excellent point.
Right, and if you wanted to just chime in, hi, yeah, I can tell. That area alone is usually a very what I call high-class area in a sense. There's no crime. From what I understand, there's no crime. I used to have a business out there with my ex-husband, like I said, it's surveying, and it's not a place where you see anything like that go down. It's right up the hill is up north. We have NCAR, National Center for Atmospheric Research, is up the hill. So you've got a lot of things over there that are literally very, very mellow, relaxed, kind of upbeat. One thing I will tell you about the Boulder people, they're very programmed. They are so programmed, it's not even funny. They are slept, and they will comply with anyone and anything. They don't know what's going on, and I don't think they ever will.
Very interesting. Chris, I know you got a lot to say. Lay on.
Well, this reminds me a lot of the Capitol riot. The first time that I saw it, I felt something wrong. Like, it was just didn't add up. And then the more you look at it, the more you see it. Footage and different stories and narratives, and then, like, you start thinking of, you know, who takes the narrative and goes to the next level with it, like Biden or Pelosi or some of these people, and then where they go with that next level. So this is kind of like most of the stuff they put out in terms of these you know, let's say terroristic nudge operations, where they're trying to get a long-term goal taken or put into place or taken away from us. And I really think that the historic contempt and the awareness of it, not only from the robber barons, but also from the people in terms of what these people have done in terms of the Federal Reserve, our trade, our nation, our everything, our political process, democracy, you name it. I think that historic contempt is coming home to roost, not only in this depopulation agenda that they seem to have, but also in this ham-fisted effort which they're trying to deliver it. It's almost like they think we're stupid. And many people are falling for it, but more people are waking up. And I think that it's really a lot of trouble for these people that thought we were just going to go gently into our own death corrals.
Good, good, good. Saul, did you want to add further thoughts from the Colorado perspective?
Are you talking to
me? Let me unmute you there. I just want to say first to Jim, I apologize for misunderstanding you. And just like from time to time, if you guys make a mistake, you always say that I was wrong. So Sal can admit he was wrong and misunderstood. So I appreciate you clearing that up, Jim. Thank you.
No problem, Sal.
Big man, Sal. Big man, you're good.
We've been joined too by Chicago Brew, who always has thoughtful observations. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, I want to suggest that one of the takeaways of many that we had from Parkland is that the sheriff and the police departments are not heroes. They're not storming anything. They're not rushing in to put their own life in danger to save anybody's life, regardless of how dire the situation. Now, if you look at videos of the scenery where they're doing helicopter shots, the numerous SWAT teams, police cars, undercover cars, there is so much law enforcement there, agencies, that there was plenty of time for plenty of backup, that no way that you would think, a lone gunman, a crazy man going in there randomly shooting people, had enough experience or know-how or the footing to actually have an accurate shot to kill a police officer, let alone any shot to take and fire at a police officer in order to kill him. So they love to expand on these narratives is what I'm saying. There had to be a victim, a hero cop, taken down, taken out.
Well, Brew, just to give you a couple clues about Parkland. They actually sent the students home at 1 p.m. because it was Valentine's Day, a holiday. There were 3,500 students at Parkland. That's why you don't have all these videos, cell phone photographs. They weren't there. It was only a couple of dozen students left behind to participate in the fraudulent event. Here's another clue. Sheriff Scott Israel drives a Lamborghini. How many sheriffs you know drive expensive cars like that? He didn't let the deputies in because they had a fake gunman inside firing simunition, which is made out of beeswax and laundry detergent. It'll create a welt, but it won't penetrate the skin. And he was worried that if the deputies went in, they might mistake him for a real shooter and someone might actually get hurt. And that's why you had the absurdities of these medical miracles with Maddie Wilford and Samantha Fuentes walking around days later with Band-Aids on their AR-15 wounds, where a doctor who was a complete idiot said that Wilford had been shot in the chest and the stomach with a large caliber wounds from an AR-15, which fires a 223 size shell, about as small as they get. It's because of the high velocity. But he said, young people, you know, they heal fast. I mean, it was just absurd. I mean, mind-boggling absurdity coming from these phony frauds at Parkland. Paul, I know you're eager to get back in the fray. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just enjoying that the humor that you did not intend, but I guess you did intend. They heal fast, I know. I would quickly mention, too, just based upon not my research, but me accessing the research of others, which is all I really do, back in the day with Columbine, that one of the points that was made is that that area of Colorado is just riddled with military, defense contractors, and so forth. It's, you know, that part of that state is, there's so many people there that are working for the government, working for defense contractors, lots of retired military. So that's worth, you know, as far as you would call a background milieu. And just real quickly on what my mention of Dean Bonnelly before. So I came upon him in one of those, you know, I was just bouncing around the internet probably about 7-8 years ago. And it's a fascinating story of his research and what he did. And he actually has a company called Magnetico Sleep Pads, where you sleep on a magnetic field that's supposed to promote healing and all that. I actually got some of those for my dad just a couple years ago. But he also did tremendous amounts of research in just the healing properties of magnetic fields. And he started 3 clinics. One of them, I think, is in the Seattle-Tacoma area. Another was in Toledo, I believe, of all places. And I forget what the third city was. Well, the FDA closed him down. I don't know if he's still closed, but he was basically healing people's broken bones in 1/4 the time that it would normally take. And also he was treating, quote, other diseases. So this is problematic for the medical establishment. So if anybody's interested, look into Dr. Dean Bonnelly, B-O-N-L-I-E, or Magnetico Sleep Pads. The reason I thought of it is because earlier in the show it was mentioned about this regeneration technology or regeneration medicine was kind of killed back in the 70s, and I firmly believe that to be the case.
Before we take our next caller, I want to return to Solaris. I'm so pleased she joined us today for her further thoughts and observations. Solaris.
Oh, I want to thank you. First of all, I agree with everybody with what they're saying. And just to confirm, yes, this is an area, Colorado is an area of exploration when it comes down to different types of covert warfare technology, psyops, gaslighting, gang stalking, and misusing and deploying covert warfare connected to synthetic telepathy, where I've been. I don't know if you know much about me, Jim, but I've been through hellacious programs that I had to testify about in 2006 that were ignored because of the corruption. So I'm very, very clear about this state and in general. And so what I think they're doing right now is really shooting themselves in the foot, no pun intended, by this operation.
Well, it's great to have you here, Solaris. I hope you'll join us on other occasions. Meanwhile, Scaredy Cat is here. Scaredy, join the conversation. Scaredy, join the conversation.
I'll jump in. Hey, Jim, the average number of children the average number of children per U.S. family with their own children in 1960 to 2020, typical American picture is 2.5 kids, but it has decreased to 1.93 children under the age of 18, which is also a decrease from 2.33 children under 18 since 1960. So this hero cop allegedly killed in the line of duty had seven children. Not number one, a lot of time on his hands to have seven children. Number two, they must have paid a lot of money to support seven children. And of course, with the average medium being 1.98 children per household, that's quite a feat. They always take it a step too far.
That was obviously just for emotional impact. Meanwhile, Scaredy Cat has joined us. Scaredy, please join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and Joe and everybody else. Hey, my mind is starting to collapse. It's bursting with trying to juggle all these current items which are grabbing our attention on radio. And I'm thinking we can't, I myself can't do anything about TV shootings. But about the medical thing, it's a really immediate danger. It's a clear and present danger to my family. For example, I'm not going to any doctors for general health, and I'm just worried anytime my family, either the younger people, my newlywed daughters, therefore questions about fertility, and then my older generation, my mom, questions about just, you know, frail health and getting pneumonia. So I was ecstatic in seventh heaven when I heard that Dr. Giuseppe Vaffanculo was a natural doctor from, as he jokingly called, the District of Criminals, you know, our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. But then he took a principled stance and he said he would never wear the mask, which is a very honorable thing, but that limited his entire profession. He couldn't practice medicine in order to maintain his license. So then I called Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in Ohio, that's 400 miles away, and I'm willing to travel 400 or 500 miles. She is booked up, has a waiting list 3 months, but I thought, who is most essential? I thought it's my mother, since she's the senior member of our, you know, all the ages in the family. But that's in May, end of May, June. So also I thought, well, maybe I could sign up with Giuseppe and become his journalism student. That way I could give him an income and he could teach medical journalism to me. So I guess my general question, probably to Joe and Giuseppe, is there any list of natural doctors that somebody is gathering or growing a database, clinics, natural clinics, where we can just go for just normal health and not be worried about things being inserted into us, just for us? You know, all of us VOPs, very ordinary persons, myself.
Giuseppe, go for it.
Well, as far as oriental medicine, there's an organization which controls the national boards, the National Certification Commission of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine, NCCAOM.org, and they have a find a practitioner database by zip code. So I can, if you want to email me at or post rtidemedia@gmail.com, the letter rtidemedia, two words, @gmail.com, I'll get you that link. And there's also for naturopaths, there's something called the Natural Practitioner Magazine, and they put out an annual guide, a listing of all naturopaths in the United States. So I know that exists as well. I can get you that link as well. And really, there's a lot of natural healers operating everywhere in the U.S. I mean, one of our Revolution Radio hosts, Bridget, is an osteopath in Nevada. And, you know, word of mouth is the best way. I don't know if you want to say where you live on air, but I can certainly help you find some some local choices. Every region has natural healers, which is a good thing.
Wonderful.
Hey, I'm going to add something real quick. There are Indochina ginseng company stores in most states, and they usually have an Oriental doctor on premises, and it costs you like $60 to go to them.
Good ad. Good.
Jim.
Good ad.
Jim. Scorpio? Can we back up and take Jim?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Jim.
Go ahead, Joe.
Can we take, okay, I want to close with the 30,000-foot view of this whole thing. The Rothschilds found and funded Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, and Mao. At the end of World War II, they had the Morgenthau Plan, which was to kill 10 million post-war Germans. General Eisenhower killed 1 million in the U.S. sector. General Montgomery killed 1 million in the British sector. General Taseghi killed 1 million in the French sector. And Russian General Zhukov killed 6 million in Eastern Europe. So they did kill 10 million Germans at the end of World War II. The 6 million Jews is a freaking lie, and we all know it. It's probably closer to 600,000. So bottom line is, these are the evil forces that are behind every one of the problems that we're dealing with today, and they've been the evil forces since the Banking Act of 1695 in England.
Actually, the number was much lower. It was something like 296,081, according to the International Committee of the Red Cross when it recalibrated its numbers in 1993. Hundreds of babies were born at these camps. They were labor camps. They were using Zyklon B to kill body lice, which were spreading typhus and dysentery because you can't get work out of a corpse. There was a UK soccer team at Auschwitz. I put a photograph on the back of the book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which has a lot of the best essays ever written about the Holocaust. That's one you ought to put on your reading list at moonrockbooks.com, by the way. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I just thought that Joe made some excellent points right there, and I just want to thank him for coming on the show. You are such a wealth of information on so many different topics. We didn't even really talk about the whole climate change hoax today. But, Joe, you are such a great guest. I just want to thank you for your time. And, yeah, this deliberate killing of Germans and other Europeans as part of these plans that you laid out are so true, and it's usually left completely out of history. All we ever hear about is the so-called Holocaust. And it's just another example how history is written by the victors, and lies of omission are as powerful as any other form of lie.
And what they're doing here in the U.S., what they're doing here in the U.S. is inviting us to kill ourselves by using these face masks, cut off oxygen to our brain. Those brain cells do not regenerate. It's irrevocable. They're inducing a bacterial pneumonia, which was the primary cause of death in the Spanish flu, not the flu itself. And then the COVID, the jabs, this is absolutely insane. Sherry Tenpenny has added that there's an anti-fertility, a sterility ingredient that clicks in 3 to 6 months later. So if you don't die outright, and of course we're reviewing the statistics, which suggests that since the AVRS system is only recording about 1/10, 1/100th of the actual event, since we have over 1,000 deaths that have been reported, if that's only 1%, we got over 100,000 who are dying from the jab, but I expect the number is going to turn out to be vastly larger, especially since Bill Gates said they hadn't paid enough attention to him about the first wave, but they will when the second wave takes place, because he knows these jabs are diminishing, even destroying our immune system regarding certain types of threats. And millions, I expect, are going to die as a consequence. Chris, further final thoughts from you.
Is that this mutant vaccine RNA recombinant combo thing is going to actually create a mutant flu and create super spreaders to deliver that. And we might see some serious issues with that. I think they really do need that human element to distribute their biowarfare weapons. And they're obviously to run attack, and they're trying to integrate that with humanity. These guys are playing God, and I think they're defying the will of God, and humanity needs to step up and stop this. So all I got.
Excellent, excellent. Giuseppe, is you and Scorpio of the Wisdom Circle, I want to give you the chance here to give us closing thoughts today.
Well, I would really like to thank Joe Olson, and there's so much there. We got to have Joe on soon on one of the other shows. And essentially, a year into this scamdemic, we have been conned. The parasites did not make the vaccines because there was a virus. They created this gain-of-function bioweapon so they can get you to take these genetic-altering transhuman vaccines. This is the whole COVID-19 is such a tremendous scam, all to drive Larry and Mary and Karen and Darren to wear the masks in fear and take these deadly jabs.
Well, it's all great to have excellent callers, too. Saul from Colorado, Scaredy Cat, Paul from California, and of course, Solaris Blue Raven, and I hope she will participate with us again. Mitchell, as usual, is doing his customary superb job. Let me just add, if you in the audience here like the simulcast, like the mix of the Wisdom Circle with a Raw Deal, if there's a way you could let Revolution Radio know you think this is a really good idea, we would welcome that. We think it's terrific. We have so many overlapping interests. We don't like being pitted. We have to go to Studio A to hear the Wisdom Circle or Studio B to hear the Raw Deal. We believe you're entitled to hear us all together. So if you like...
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not.